Thank the Lord for being here tonight. Thank the Lord for one more service. Amen. Always glad to have one more. Well, I've been thinking a little bit. I tell you what, before we get into the message, though, I've learned my lesson. And let's have prayer. Amen. Dear Lord, as we stop for a moment before we get started here, dear God, and we just want to acknowledge that you are the one who is able, dear God. We can get up here and speak words, but Lord, you bring the inspiration. It's by your Spirit that we get the food we need for our souls. So God, would you just take over now and just make this what you desire it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wanted to look. Think a little bit tonight about being a friend. And if you think about a friend, looked up the definition there, and it means one who is attached to another by affection. I feel like I have a lot of friends here tonight. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we would have been friends, maybe we wouldn't have, but we've got something that bonds us together in love. And that's the Lord, and that's His salvation. It's wonderful to be a family of friends. You know, sometimes families have a little struggle being friendly with each other, but the Lord has set it up that we're a family of friends. We're here for each other, you know, and we're attached by a feeling of affection. And, you know, when I'm going through a hard place, I don't necessarily go look for my enemies to get me through that time in my life. I go look for my friends. If I want somebody to pray for me or be there with me, and I look for my friends. So they're a precious thing. It's a sad thing to be lonely in the world, and there's no reason. If you're a child of God, there's no reason to be lonely tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but there's no reason to be lonely as a child of God, because the Lord has given you a family and something even more than that, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Proverbs 17, let me turn over there and read a verse here. Proverbs 17:17. It says, "A friend loveth at all times." I remember some people going through a hard place in life and spending some time with them, and it was involving someone that was a friend to them. And they didn't really know what to do and how to help in this situation. And it came to a point where it was said, you know what, probably at this point you just need to let them know that you love them. That's really what it all comes down to. We can try to fix each other's problems. We can try to tell each other what we need to do. But a friend really comes down to a point where it's all about love. Everything else above that we talk and we share should be coming from that point. A friend loveth at all times. I'll go back a little bit. I got saved when I was 17. And, got saved for the last time, as I think it was expressed earlier in the meeting. And I remember standing there, and I could tell you there were sins in my life, and I knew I wasn't right, and I knew I was going to hell, and I knew I was in trouble. But I'm going to tell you what, as I was standing there that night, and the Lord was moving on me, I saw the family of God, and they were singing, but it was family of God was up there on the lectern singing some songs. It was the young people that night. And all the other things I could tell you why I needed to get saved. When I looked at them and I saw how they loved each other, and they had a love that was, it wasn't even really even about each other. It seemed to even go beyond that in a way. I remember vividly that was the thing that night that I wanted. I wanted to have that kind of friends. A friend loveth at all times. I wanted that in my life. I wanted to know I had, sometimes in life we can think that we found friends, and then some times come and maybe there's some separations, and I'm not just talking about distance. You realize that maybe it wasn't really a friend. But there's something here we have in the Lord that even though distance separates us, a friend loveth at all times. You know, I think if we really just sit down and talk to each other and I don't want to speak for everybody else, but you've made me feel this way. I felt like tonight if I needed something, that you would be there for me. And I hope you feel the same way out of me, that I would be there for you. And no, there's a reason for that. We're not that kind of people, really, by nature, y'all. We're not just these wonderful, God just found all these wonderful people. He told Israel, I'm not putting you in the land of Canaan because of your righteousness necessarily. We're not this just bunch of good people that Jesus just selected from here and here. We're people who have been changed. And because of the change in our life, there is a love that passes all understanding. There's a peace too, but there's a love that passes all understanding. The Lord, He likes it. That's what He wants out of us. He wants us to love at all times. Don't worry. You know, sometimes we can be caught up here trying to fix each other's problems or trying to figure out what we're going to do about that. Let's remember that a friend loveth at all times. This is what we're to be. This is who God saved us to be for each other. And it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother. I don't have any literal brothers out here tonight, but I believe I have some brothers. Amen. Thank the Lord. I love you. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this family and to have some brothers and have some sisters that love, that have a love for me that passes just what we can muster up in this world. It's something that the Lord puts in us. He wants it there. I hope you're understanding my meaning. I'm not just here. I'd love to pat you on the back. I appreciate it. This has been a wonderful place to be. But I want you to know that the Lord intends for it to be that way. There's a burden on my heart tonight that we recognize it, that we treasure it, that we work to preserve it and to let it grow in our lives. This is what the Lord wants. We might miss out on a few other things, but it says in one place, love covereth a multitude of sins. A multitude of things that we didn't quite figure out, didn't quite get right. But if we truly have the love of God in our heart, He can take care of that amongst us and before Him. The Lord can take care of that if we understand that it all starts with that love that the Lord is putting in our hearts, and we treasure it and we preserve it. It says, a friend loveth at all times, a brother is born for adversity. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, a brother is born for adversity. You know, I'm thinking about the song, I am a child of God. You're a child of God. There was a birth that happened. A new life came into me. A brother is born for adversity. I was born to be saved. I was born again to be saved. I was born again to go to heaven. I was born again to be delivered from this world and from sin. But I was born again for adversity. What does that mean? That means we're in it together. We're in this thing together. Adversity means an event or series of events. You know, this just sounds like life already. A series of events. Well, we got through that. Well, here comes something else sometimes. You know, that's kind of how it goes. And you think you've made it through something and you realize you haven't quite made it through. And then that is life. But thank God that He didn't just have us born again so that we can be in heaven, but that we can be here for each other through the series of events. My heart's being touched a little bit right now because I'm looking out and I'm seeing some people who have gone through some things. Yes, we've all gone through some things, but some of us have, well, all of us have at some point, but some things are coming back to my mind as I look out on the crowd, and I know some sadness and some hard times that have come. And you know, thank the Lord that we have this family, and God did not just save us to take us to heaven. He saved us to be a family that loves each other, to be brothers, to be friends, to be sisters that are born for adversity. This is our purpose. Something's happening. My brother is suffering. He's going through a hard time. My sister suffered. This is what I was born for. This is what I'm not here to try to make it to make the next. Well, I'm going to be careful a little bit. I don't want to get off too much. But this is what I was born for that adversity to, we all were, to help each other, to encourage each other, to help each other through this series of events called life here on earth until we reach eternal life. And you know what? It's just a big long event. And there's not all these things that come up and these hard times that hit each other. We'll be there one day together and we'll celebrate. We'll be there to celebrate together that we made it through this series of events called life and that we were there for each other. How many times do you really think if God just made us a bunch of isolated little islands that we'd all be here today? Are we not here? Partly because there's a brother or a sister that cared what happened in our life. That cared, that they didn't want to see us lost. They didn't want to see us discouraged. And maybe we never even knew it. I found out after I'd been saved, there was somebody who was out riding on their mower one day and just all of a sudden said, God, we just need Brandon. I don't know. We just need him. It wasn't that he needed me. He was going to go on just fine without me. But the Lord had a love stirring in his heart. There's a lost one over here that needs to be prayed for. And he prayed. I got saved not long after that. That had something to do with it, I'm sure. I'm positive. I had a mom and a dad who, yes, were my literal mom and dad, but they cared. They loved. They wanted to teach me about the Word. Why? Because they wanted me to have a part in this. What all the things we do, the reasons we're here tonight, somebody had a part in that. Thank the Lord for that. That's precious that we're here to help each other through the series of events called life. It says, we're still defining adversity here, but an event or a series of events which oppose success. Oh, back to that thought. If we were just on an island on our own, and we were here to try to fight through all these things that oppose us, do you think? Now, I'm pretty sure most of us just know that we're not the only one that goes through things, but sometimes we feel like we are. That's just life. It opposes all of us. Because Satan has this time and this realm to work, and he's never going to make the mistake of helping us along on purpose. Anyways, I guess he made a mistake one day with Jesus on the cross and thought that was going to end it, but it didn't, did it? So sometimes he gets a little mixed up and God actually turns what he does. But he's here to oppose us and to stand against us. And this life is where he has that chance. It says, which oppose an event or series of events which oppose success or desire, misfortune, calamity, affliction, distress, state of unhappiness. Have we faced any of those things? A brother is born before those things. It's our purpose as a child of God to help each other and encourage each other. It says in Galatians, the 6th chapter, let's turn over there and get a verse. All right. Oh, this is good to some of the point that the Lord's put on our heart tonight. I actually wasn't planning to read the first verse, but this is good. This is some of what we're talking about. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in spirit of meekness, and consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is kind of the area up here. And sometimes we get in that area, and I'm talking about, this is love. I start drawing these illustrations, and sometimes I know I'm not real clear about what they are. But this is the bottom line, love. And this is these situations up here. There's somebody who's been overtaken in a fault. So we're stepping out there and we're helping, maybe trying to get it corrected somehow. However we're doing that, pointing out something. Maybe who knows what we're doing up there. Sometimes God's got us there. Sometimes we've got ourselves there. We have to be careful about that. But we're all up here. And sometimes we get to thinking that's what we're trying to do. That's what our interaction is about. But the second verse brings it back down. Says, yes, you know, there's places for that. We don't want to just let somebody go without sharing our burden maybe for them that this isn't going to work out good. Or you need something in your life. But we got to come back down to the second verse here, which is back to the point of what it's all about. Bear ye one another's burdens. That's why I'm stepping up. That's why if I'm sharing something or you're sharing something or we're talking with each other in some, maybe it's some hard places we're talking about, why are we talking about it? Are we talking about it so we can be the one to try to set it right? Are we talking about it because we're trying to bear a burden for somebody, bear a load, help somebody? Why is this happening? What can I do to help you? I don't want to see this happen in your life. I want to do anything I can to help you, to lift you up. What can I do? I'm willing to be put out over this. If there's something I can do to help you. Because it's not about me correcting you or me pointing something out in your life. Whatever it may be. It's about me, if there's anything I can do to help bear your burden, to help you make it. That's what we are born for as children of God. I want you to just be keeping these things in your mind. There's something more coming, but I want you to remember these things. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In case you were just thinking, wow, that's a really good idea. I tell you what, I'll think about that. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that's what it is. It says, do this and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I know we know what a law is, but as a law is something you better do. When a law is written out, it's not written out for you to decide whether you're going to suffer that consequence or not if you don't follow the law. It's written out, there's a law and there's a consequence. And if you don't follow the law, you are subject to the consequence. That's how it works. This is a law of Christ. Whether we really, Lord help me, whether we really always maybe, oh, let's just be honest. This love is in our heart, but sometimes we got to remind ourselves that this is what it's about and spend some time before the Lord getting our hearts back where they need to be so that we're truly following the law of Christ. Well, tonight, let's do that. Let's, if we're struggling a little bit with this, with somebody or something, let's get back to this place because it is a law. That's where our hearts need to be. They need to be in that place where we're not picking and fighting and striving with each other. That's not okay. It's just not. It's against the law of Christ. In one place I read in one of the commentaries that it's adverse to His nature. It's no part of Him. Strife is not a part of who Christ is. So we need tonight to get back to that place, if we're struggling, to pray about it, to sacrifice ourselves, to put ourselves back on the cross so that Christ can be all in all. Because this is His law, that we are bearing one another's burdens, and that's that we love each other in that manner. That's what we're born for. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, the law of Christ, where did Paul pull that from? Y'all remember the Lord ever saying anything along those lines? Let's look over in John 13. John 13 and 34. And we're looking for the law of Christ. What was the law of Christ? I love the Lord, but I love how He made things so simple. When you're feeling complicated, just go back to the Word a little bit and just read and just rebuke Satan. Because the Lord made this a simple thing to be able to follow. It gets complicated when we don't really want to follow it. That's when it gets complicated, because we're trying to find a way around it. The only way around simple is complicated. So we need to get back to simple, okay? And just look at it like He said. The Lord said here in 13 and 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you. A commandment. Okay, so the Lord is giving us His law. It says, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another. And He didn't leave us. You know, it's always important to know your measuring stick. It's always important to know the units you're using. And tonight, when we talk about loving each other, we're not using units of Brandon, or put your name in there, anybody else. That's not the measuring stick tonight. He said, as I have loved you. Okay, so I see, Lord, I've got some measuring up to do, right? And don't be discouraged. There's not anyone here that doesn't have some measuring up to do. The Lord's the measuring stick. We're all seeking Him to be able to measure up to who He is. We're all in that place. But the Lord wants us to recognize that and to seek Him and to be willing to lay down ourselves so that we can measure up to who He is. That the love we have is not just a love we're conjuring up because we want to be a part. But it's a love that is stemming straight from the new life that He has put inside of us from Him. That is coming from the source. See, when we're born again, the source is there. And the devil tries to cloud it up and get us confused and get us in a place where we're muting the source a little bit. What we've got to do is back off, recognize the source, and let Him be free in our lives. Lay down who we are and let Him measure us up. So it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You know, they see you teaching the Word of God, and they wonder, is this person true? Is this really a Christian? They see you dressing maybe in a certain way and they wonder, is this a Christian? They see you not going to certain places and they go, well, maybe that's a Christian. But when they see you with a love that is supernatural, that is born from above, that is coming from the source of new life in you, then they will know that you are a Christian, and not before that. By all this shall men know that you are my disciples. Do all the other stuff that the Lord shows you do, yes. But they know you are when the love of God is seen in your life, when it is truly there and you're not just forcing it. You're getting out of the way so the Lord can shine through. What did John say? I've used that several times lately. Lord, help me. And I don't expect to ever be able to lay this verse aside. I've just come to believe that that's the truth. John the Baptist said, when he looked at Jesus, he said, I must decrease that He may increase. Simple, so profound. Now, we could go off to any other topic you wanted to talk about and address it with that verse. But we're talking about love tonight. Are you struggling loving your brother? Are you struggling bearing his burden, making that what it's about? Being born for adversity. Are you struggling with that tonight? Look, do what you can. But what you can do is learn to decrease. Seek the Lord about what is it in me that's getting in the way. Sometimes we just try to turn on more and more of the Lord and the hose is kinked. The water's there, it's waiting and it's got plenty of pressure, but there's a kink in the hose and it won't come out. You can sit there and turn the water as much as you want to, but until you get the kink out of the hose, no water comes out. I must decrease. That's the only way that this is going to grow in me. Lord, help us tonight. Lord Jesus, help us. Lord, help me to decrease. He has this well under control. He can do this, y'all. If we learn how to lay down who we are and let Him shine through. Well, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I want to look over in James here, and just have one more verse here. Sorry, I say that sometimes. People get hopeful. One more verse on this topic, and we're going to shift just a little bit. All right, it won't be long. All right, James, the second chapter. Second chapter and the 15th verse. If a brother or sister, now, what does it say in one place? Do good unto all men, but especially to them that be of the house of God, house of the Lord. Do good to all men. But we're really, the burden tonight is about amongst us and helping each other. We want to see others saved, but we want to see each other make it. Those of us who've already made this choice, we want to see us encouraged. So I want you to think about that, not to neglect anybody outside of the family of God. Do what you can, but really think about the family of God. You know, and maybe, you know, sometimes we think, well, he's tough enough, he's going to make it. Do what the Lord's showing you to do to love your brother. All right? But it says here, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? There's several things here, and there's a real physical nature to this verse of actual things and making sure we supply that. But I want us to think more about the nature of our spirit tonight, because the outward things will come. If we get the right idea and we strive for that, then the outward things will come, and we'll be doing what we're supposed to do. The Lord didn't save us for us just to blow a lot of hot air. Okay? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes. Be warmed, be filled. Be warmed, be filled. I hope, may the Lord bless you. That's one way we say it. May the Lord bless you. And the Lord's going, well, I'd really like to. Why don't you think about it for a minute and see if there's something you can do to help? And I'm not even talking about the help so much as the attitude that we have. Well, the truth's right here. I told them the truth. Well, I don't even know what to quite say about that. I don't want to give the wrong idea. But if maybe you understand what I'm saying, and if you don't, come to me later. But if all you did was tell them the truth, you're probably not doing what you need to do. If that's the attitude of my heart, that I just need to tell them the truth, well, Lord, help them to hear the truth, but you're probably not where you need to be in this situation. You probably need to go pray a little bit and get back to the place where your heart is. I want to show them the truth. I want them to see it. What did it say? By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Well, I think they're a Christian. Well, they said this and they said this. I think they're a Christian. We need to have a heart to show people the truth, especially each other's as the family of God, to show, not tell. It'll be told. If you show it, it'll be told. Show the truth to each other. Show the love that God has put in. Show the law of Christ. Be ready to give. Let that be our heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we leave from here tonight and everybody passes around a bunch of money and clothes and all that, we're not getting to the point. And I know that's not going to happen, but that's okay. But the point is to get our hearts where they need to be, that we're bearing burden. It's all about just bearing a burden. It's all about, if I can show you any way I can, the love of Christ, that's what I want to do. I want to be a part of this family. I want to bear its burdens. Well, it's a wonderful thing. And thank God I have seen it so many times. I've seen it happen. I'm just encouraging you tonight to just dig even deeper into it and do it. Keep it up. Keep it up. The light of Christ will shine brighter and brighter if we have this kind of heart in us for each other and for the world. But Proverbs 18 and 24, there's something, this is good, but there's something even better. You remember I said early on, there's no reason that a child of God should feel lonely, utterly lonely. Now, we go through periods of feeling a little bit maybe left out. That happens. But I'm talking about utter loneliness, okay? Let's look over here in Proverbs 18. says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. Guess what, guys? You're stuck. You're stuck. You got some friends, and you got to show yourself friendly. Okay? That's the way it is. So you just have to get over it and do it. All right? A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. But here's what I wanted to get to. Here's the thing that's just, oh, it's just, I call it the icing on the cake. It's just not good enough. I don't know what to call it. All right, but it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank the Lord. All this and that too. All this and that too. Each other, the whole family that God gave us here, with this kind of love, not just us trying to mix and match and somehow figure out how to love each other, but a love that's born of God inside of us. That wells, this is real. This is real. But on top of that, in the midst of all this, there's a friend who sticks closer than even all of that. That we all can have at all times. You don't have to feel lonely. When you feel lonely, you know, I've had recently all my life, and my dad's never understood it. It's funny, I don't want to get too far aside here, but my mom and I have always had a little trouble sleeping from time to time. Our minds get going, and especially when I was younger, for some reason over the last 16 years or so, that's kind of gradually not been as much a problem. But when I was younger, I had some trouble getting to sleep at night because my mind would just spin. All right? And so lately, I've actually woke up several times in the middle of the night with that going on. And there's a part of me that's just like, oh, no, because I remember how miserable that is, not being able to get to sleep and all that. And you know what? The Lord hit me. He said, why don't you just talk to me? Why are you dreading this so much? Why are you so upset when you're waking up in a moment where there's no noise, there's no distractions, it's quiet outside, and you're with somebody who knows exactly how much sleep you actually need. So what are you worrying about? Why don't you just start talking to me and sharing your day with me? And you know, I've done that, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's right there. If you're lonely tonight, you don't have to be. He's real. This isn't a state of mind that we just work ourselves into. This is a reality. All this and that too. A friend that sticks closer to a brother. It says in John, the 15th chapter, I believe is where it is. Yes, 15th chapter, and it says here, well, there's these 11th verse, this is where he's talking about the Father loving, and I've loved you, and these things I've spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. But it says, greater love, 13th verse, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, maybe you would, but he did. And I hope you would, but he did. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. You know, I don't know if you, but since the Lord started putting this in my heart, I just feel like he's here. I'll be honest. I just feel like he's here with us. He's just our friend. Well, and he is. He promised he would be, didn't he? So we know he is. All right? But you're my friends. That means he likes to be around us. Yes. He really does, especially when we're doing, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. meeting together to worship Him, seeking to serve Him. That's a great relationship. But He's a friend. He's already proven it. There's nothing left to prove. He's done as much as He could possibly do to prove that He is your friend. And you know what your friend doesn't do? When you've messed up a little bit and maybe said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing, your friend doesn't throw you out. That's what we talked about earlier about finding out people you thought were your friends. And then maybe you've messed up a little bit and all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found. There's no forgiveness in their heart for you. That's not a friend. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I don't really know. You know, we know that God knows all things. But almost in my mind, I see it that He didn't really know who, maybe. I don't know that, and that might not be very theological. But my point is that He'd have done it no matter what. He did what He did because He was a friend. And you know how many of the people He's put His friendship out for? You ever done that? Put your friendship out for somebody and they didn't really return it? How many people did He put His friendship out for? And so if He knew what was going to happen, then He still did it. And if He didn't know who was going to choose Him, then He still did it. This man did it for us. He can't prove anything more that any more of a friend than that. He was willing to sacrifice His very life, and not just in a, okay, give up the ghost kind of thing and gone, but suffering for us. Suffering. And He knew that was going to happen. We know that because He was in the garden praying for us. We know He knew what was going to happen. And yet He still did it. That's a friend. That's a friend. You know, we stand around and we say, you know, that's pretty good right there. That's pretty good right there. That pretty much proves it. That answers all questions. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He gave Himself for us. To save us, to deliver us, to set us up with a family that was born for adversity, that was born to help us through the series of events called life. Young people, you're learning. I know you are. I want you to understand, when we speak to you young people, we don't think you've not experienced anything yet. We actually know you are. And you're going through some of the hardest times in life where you're trying to set your course. You're trying to decide who you're going to be and what your course of life is going to be. And we know you're going through some spots. And that's why we speak to you. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He will love you and He will care for you and He will not turn His back on you. He will stand beside you. You know, we were born for adversity, and if we walk the way we're supposed to walk, we're all here for you. As long as we're alive, we're here for you. But the Lord is even above that. He's here for you all the time. He will not turn His back on you. He's not somebody who's going to reject your friendship. You're trying to catch up with Him. Okay? He's ahead and He's going to stay there. You don't have to wonder. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful that He gave us this family and gave us Himself too. You pray for me. I want to have a heart to love like He loved. Because I want it, but also because it's the law of Christ. It's what He expects out of us. You pray for me.